Welcome to the Money in XXX, the podcast for creators by creators. I'm your host, Stella Sky, and we are brought to you by Minx Digital, MINXXXDigital.com. And you can come to us for all your digital marketing needs. And we also have courses for new creators just starting out on the spicy side. You can also find our socials, MINX Social, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, everywhere that you have a social, you can find us, Minx Social. And I am here today with Maxine X.
Hey.
Famed pro porn star and absolute delight, the giggliest and most fun person to hang out with. I love you so much, Maxine.
I love you too.
Thank you for coming on and talking shop with me today.
Thanks.
How
are
you doing?
Me. I'm doing great. Thanks for having
me. Welcome to Vegas.
I love it. I'm super excited to be here.
Yes. And you've already gotten some shoots done and out of the way. You're here for AVN, right?
Yep. But I have more shoots happening and they're going to be wild.
Excellent. I'm sure your fans are very excited for those to come
out.
And you'll be signing during AVN?
Well, I'm going to be hanging out at the Loyal Fans booth with my friend Nisa, who's a big part of the company. So I love Nisa. She's been my friend for so long, since basically when we both started out. Like, I started out, and then it was soon after she started out, and then we met at FetishCon, and we've been friends and working with each other ever since, from the beginning of our careers, both of ours.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah. I have, like, so many questions off of that because, okay, first of all, I want to talk to you about how you got started. But second of all, I want to make sure we ask about FetishCon.
Yes.
I've heard about it a couple times, but I actually really haven't done my research.
But
okay. Let's start with you.
I'm an OG.
When did you get started and how did you get started? Why did you get into porn?
You know, I realized that it's been 20 years. And honestly, like...
an anniversary.
It was a recent 20 years, too. So it's just over 20 years. And literally, I remember being interviewed and they go, just so you know that this is models don't stay very long. So just milk it as much as you can milk it because sooner or later, you'll be out of the industry. And you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do next, you know, because you're not going to be young forever. And I was thinking in my head, like, you know, yeah, that's true. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen? I'm just going with the flow. But honestly, 10 years go by, 20 years go by. I'm just like, I thought I was supposed to be not.
I mean, it's very much a stereotype. And I'm sure it's for a real reason. There's plenty of people who get in and they quickly realize, like, this is not for me. And they get out or, you know, they retire, right?
Yeah.
But you've found longevity in this career.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
there's a reason for that.
How do you do it?
There's a very interesting evolution in porn, what people don't realize it. So let me just give you this little quick story of about, I think it was about 7-8 years that I was in the adult industry, and mostly I was doing it in Canada with my own company, with my husband, and we'd hire models, and they were either Canadian or some American friends that we met in the convention, and they would come down. So I just kind of had my own thing going on for that bit. Then all of a sudden, I thought maybe I was going to retire. So there was a whole part of the world where the free downloading started to destroy our business in a sense that people like you can get all my stuff for free on the internet, like torrent sites and tube sites, and nobody was getting a membership anymore. And then we went from making 3 DVDs. So we were making 3 DVDs for a porn company, they sold videos in Canada and sold it to all over Canada. They're a distributor. And he even partnered with us. So we made sure we gave him 3 videos each month. So that was our top. We were doing so good.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, the free downloading made our business to only 2 DVDs a month to 1 DVD a month to more, because you know what? They don't even want to buy DVDs and they have to get rid of what they already have.
Wow.
So I was in this industry of this evolving thing, and I thought the end of porn, it was going to be the end of porn, the tube sites, the torrent sites, the free downloading, and literally we had to sell our house. So we thought our business is done or it's going to be done very soon. porn is over. We had a good 7-8 years of like business, and we were pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
And then we said, okay, we're going to have to sell our house in Toronto because Toronto's so expensive, but we were lucky to make money on our house. So we sold our house in Toronto and we moved to a cheaper city, which was Windsor on the border of Detroit and Canada and mm-hmm. US border. And we opened up an adult porn shop.
That's right.
So
yeah.
I was thinking, I'm going to just retire, right? And I'm just, this is eventually, I'm going to just, and I was 35. I think it was about 35, right? And so I was like, I'm going to retire. I'm going to be a businesswoman. And we went from one store and then we co-owned a second store. Like, so we had two adult stores in Windsor. And then we had a, like a year after we got into it, the town literally was like, oh, let's make an article. Porn stars open up porn shop in Canada, right? And there was controversy. And then all of a sudden, interviews.
Oh, people were upset?
Oh, yeah, there were some people. But everybody was some excited, too.
Yeah.
So it went from both things, right? But the people who were excited were really excited. And so they were coming to the store. I signed autographs. I had my DVDs. I had a whole section. And then all of a sudden, I was doing interviews. Then the strip bars were like, can you come and be a feature? And I was getting regular featuring gigs and literally getting paid just for the show, right? And I chose not to do lap dances because I used to be a stripper when I was 21. I was like, oh, I don't want to go back to that world. But I was making money just doing a show.
Yeah.
And it was making me more famous. And then all of a sudden, as soon as you think that you're going to retire, I got a whole bunch of calls. Brazzers wanted me. Elegant Angel. First, it was Elegant Angel. Was it Elegant Angel? Yeah. Elegant. Sorry, I get a mix up. Elegant Angel. And this guy I ran into at the AVNs one year. And he said, Maxine, I've been wanting to like shoot with you, but somebody told me you were already retired. And I was like, no, at that time I wasn't. And I was like, no. So he goes, I want to shoot you. So anyways, I flew to LA like one day, shoot with Elegant Angel and come back and then run my adult store. And then after that, Brazzers, and it was like a year. My husband tried to get me in it for a year. So it was a year long interview kind of thing.
Wow.
And I finally got in Brazzers. I did Brazzers 3 times. Then I did Elegant Angel, Evil Angel, Jules Jordan,
wow.
Reality Kings,
wow.
Kink.com, Hard Tide, Hog Tide, Sexually Broken. Just like this, all of a sudden I'm doing strip bar shows as soon as I thought I was going to retire. And then porn stuff, right? And then it totally took me to another level because all of a sudden I'm a MILF.
Yeah,
that's
so
the
that,
evolution
I was going
to
ask you.
Tell
so
you.
You're like, when that was happening, like your browser stuff, like you're 34, 35.
Yes, but I was doing stuff for a long time. I was doing everything from, because I started at Fetish Con, like I started, you know, playing bondage with my husband for a while, right? Then we started going to swinger clubs. We started going to fetish parties, wherever we can find them.
Yeah.
We went to, you know, stuff in Canada. And then we started to venture out to America. And we found Fetish Con. Now, Fetish Con, it was their second year because they were Bond Con the year before in another location. Bond Con.
Oh, okay,
and I think it was like Bond Con, bondage convention.
Gun.
And then it turned into Fetish Con. So it was like the first Fetish Con year, which is, I think it was like 2004. I don't know, something like that. It was a long time ago. And it literally was at its infancy in Florida, Tampa, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And it was in its infancy. And that's where I met everybody. I met all my fetish model friends that I started with from Nisa Nevers to just tons, like so many, and Nisa's still friends with them too. So that's where it got you. Fetish Con was more fun at the time than AVN because it was totally a different world.
Yeah.
By the way,
I think it's still like it's like different. Highly interactive.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't gone, but I've seen, like, the videos, which is why I'm interested. You would like
FetishCon, because FetishCon is a different kind of group of people. So, yes, the porn industry in AVN is amazing, but it's also some higher-end producers and superstars. Yeah,
very, like, production.
Right, and some of these superstars, they're untouchable.
Right.
You're at FetishCon, you're partying with fans, lifestylers, and the top female stars,
right?
You know, or whatever. So they're all partying together. They're all kind of almost in the same level, kind of thing. They're not untouchable, right? So it's a little bit more down to earth. And most of those people, we've had long time relationships. Avian's great, but when I go there, sometimes it's like, oh, you got the superstars there. Yeah. And even though I've been in the industry for a little bit, I'm just like. I don't know where to go.
You're passing by, like, the freaking, like, Pornhub booth, right? And you're like, oh, that's my friend. But, like, there's a long line, and you're like, say hi later.
Yeah, she's busy. Yeah. I know, I feel the same way.
So it's nice to have ones where you can interact. I just did my first XBiz. That was something I really loved about XBiz, is I was like, oh, finally I can, like, hang out with my homies a little bit more and talk shop a little bit more. And it wasn't so much the rush of, like, oh, well, you've got, like, three people behind you waiting for you, you know, like, to take a picture with you, so I'll talk to you later. It's nice to not have that rushed vibe to it.
They're both amazing. It's just totally different worlds, right? And sometimes I find the fetish porn stars are a little bit different than porn stars, because I mean, I've hung out with both, right?
Yeah.
And I do both. But sometimes it's like a totally different level. Like, they're a different kind of breed. Like, it's like they're kind of really down to earth, kind of cool. They'll play video games. The girls,
they have,
like,
a totally, like, different fan interaction.
Totally different vibe. Yeah. Really down to earth kind of thing. So, you know, both good. You know, it's awesome.
Okay, so talking about that, like, were you, well, like, prior to FetishCon, were you doing a lot of fetish work? Did that kind of grow as you continue to grow in the industry? Was it always something that you did?
Well, I got into fetish with my husband, and then eventually, like, we were watching fetish porn. So watching fetish porn was like, oh my God, I want to do that now, right? So I wasn't a model, but he took my pictures and got me in it. We went to the convention, we started to network, right? The whole thing, it became like, oh shoot, now I forgot the question. What was the question?
Well, just like getting into fetish work, like, how did that go for you, getting started with it?
It was great, but as a Canadian, being a Canadian really, really slowed my whole progress down.
Yeah.
See, if I was living in...
laws, right? Uh-huh,
well, not just, it's just sometimes it was hard to break into the American version. Right. So, for example, I worked with my American friends, and we did shoots at FetishCon and all that stuff, and sometimes at their place or my place. That was cool, right? But my first thing that I wanted to get into was kink.com.
Yeah,
from the very
in San Francisco,
beginning.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I literally, I can't even tell you how cool this is, because I've been talking about it with somebody that I think I went full circle. You know when you go full circle in your life? You start off with wanting to do kink.com as the biggest thing you have to do, right? I had to do kink.com because that was my favorite website, right? And I used to watch it with my husband. And I was like, and the girls on there were like my... like role models. I was like, oh my God, I love her. You know, she's so cool, right? And then, so, you know, yes, girls love it too, right? Love those guys too, right? So I went to go fly there to work with my favorite model at the time, Dragon Lily. And last minute, they changed the rules. Like, and this was right after 9/11, okay?
Oh, shoot.
So what happened is, before, you didn't even need a passport to go fly on a plane from Canada to the U.S.
Oh.
And so I didn't have my passport, but I had all my other ID and a driver's license. And that wasn't enough for them. But they knew what I had before I left. But then they said, because of 9/11 and all these rules, and all of a sudden, there's another thing. There was a porn star who was underage. She's famous, and she wrote a book and stuff.
Yeah.
And she basically took a bunch of those guys to jail because they got found out that they shot somebody underage, like filmed somebody underage. And so everything started to change in the adult industry right. after that. So nobody wanted to get, like, their website taken down. Nobody wanted to go to jail. So they're like, now I have all this other ID, but I didn't have a passport. And I didn't have U.S. state ID. And they were literally like, no, you know, I'm sorry. We're going to give you a kill fee. I was dressed. I was in the studio. I was ready to shoot.
Damn.
And it was like one of my biggest disappointments. But at the same time, when you go back to that hotel with a kill fee just to hang around San Francisco and like go, oh, it's so disappointing. I was so close to my big goal of working for the biggest fetish site ever. And I lost it. And it's disappointing to go back to Canada and you don't have it.
Yeah.
But my husband, he's so smart. So, like, we're at Starbucks and he thought of, okay, I'm going to make my own business. So that's how it said that he's going to make his own business in Canada, but a version of that in Canada. And so we did for the next 7-8 years.
Wow.
Until I told you that we felt like the industry changed. And I said, okay. And I'm writing a book, so I had a lot of this stuff in my mind to thinking about this. That is when I thought it was the end of porn. It was the end of porn as we knew it. I didn't even know what was going to happen. I knew it was probably the end of my industry. I literally had a, like, almost a death, like, mourning Maxine X. Because I was like, I was thinking, who am I if I'm not the persona I created?
Yeah, what's like, left?
I made myself Maxine X. And I called myself Canada's top fetish porn star, even though there wasn't any kind of contest.
You can say whatever you want. Yeah.
make it till you make it,
exactly, right?
So I literally thought, okay, that's the end of it. And I had to have some realization. I'm going to go back to me. I changed my hair. I was like going to have like a whole new get to know myself kind of thing.
You did the full girly breakup makeover.
And I was going to be a businesswoman. So I started looking at like more sophisticated looking clothes, even though I had these big boobs. And I was just going to be, I'm going to be the sexy like MILF, like friggin' business owner at the porn shop. And I had this whole thing in my head, right? Of this image I wanted to be. So I was going to do that for a while. Wow. And then strip bars were like hiring me, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna turn down that money. I'm gonna do it. It's gonna promote my store. Then I started getting calls for like the companies I've always wanted to work for and couldn't. So the loophole was I got an agency. They paid my agency. The agency paid me. So that's how they were able to go around that thing. Then I could use, I had, my mom had a condo. They had a place in Florida. And Florida will give you a DMV ID. So I had a DMV ID for my mom's address in her condo. And that was fine because I stayed there lots of times. And I was like, you know, part-time living there. Yeah. And so I got to be able to use that with my Canadian passport. And if I had to use a company that was nervous, they were able to pay me through my agency. And the agency paid me. That's how I got it for kink.com. And last minute,
So
kink.com came around. And they were going to accept it because they could pay through my agency. But otherwise, they wouldn't have done it because I had Canadian ID and not to U.S. state ID. And there's lots of companies I wanted to work for. Like, I wanted to work for Bang Brothers in Florida.
I like that you called it Full Brothers. Bang Brothers and not Bang Bros.
Oh, my God. Yes, that's Duolingo.
Bang Brothers.
We have had this conversation before how, like, that's I'm not hilarious. Very good with lingo. I'm so
no,
good
I like,
with,
like it. I like
I do
it.
Things like the full because then I'm always like, the first time when I got in the industry, I was telling you, it was like, I thought ATM was the bank machine. My husband's like, you're going to do ATM.
Listen,
like,
there's no ATM? Dictionary, okay? Like, and if you just Google ATM, it's not really going to help you, honestly.
I know. I like people tell me like these acronyms all the time. I'm like, wait, what's that? Like even somebody just asked me, like Sean Dam, he's like, oh, we're going to do a VR. You remember, we were talking about something. I said, yeah. Because I remember saying yeah to everything he was saying. And then I go, wait, what's VR? he goes, you know, like the virtual reality. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. Because my husband has the video game.
Yeah, that would be fun. I hope you do that.
I'm
hope
gonna
you do
it.
It.
But I was like, I didn't know what he was talking
about. You're just like,
about.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Old school.
So you have been through quite a few, like, kind of like rifts in the industry. So like you made it through the whole thing of, you know, underage actresses and that almost shutting down the porn industry, the HIV scare shutting down the porn industry.
Uh-huh. And then I lost a lot of shoots.
And then coronavirus shutting down the porn industry.
Yes, exactly.
So you survived like multiple...
I survived the corona.
Yeah, girl. Like that. I mean, honestly, that is why I think you're so great to look up to, because none of this has stopped you.
Yeah.
You're stronger than ever before in your brand and your presence. Yeah. I mean, is there any advice that you have? Like, what mentality keeps you going through all that?
Oh, I was going to tell you, this is the thing. I wanted to give this girl advice when I went and did I was in like a waiting room to work for Reality Kings, and I could see this young girl coming in, 20-something, and she was with an agent, this woman who was like late 50s or something, right?
Yeah.
Or mid to late 50s. And she was telling her the same thing I told you. They just tell you, just like, oh, milk it for you. They'll shoot you, and then you won't be able to work again because they just always want young people. And, you know, get what you can get, do as many shoots, because you're not going to last very long.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sitting there, and I've already been...
You're like in your 30s.
That time I was like 35. I started when I was around, like, just even the beginning of modeling part was like 27, 28. And I've been in the industry for so long at that time. And I really wanted to, like, I was like, mind your own business. But really, that's not true what they're telling you. And she's taking advantage of the young girl.
Yes, 100%.
Because she's almost abusing her by telling her to send her out here, instead of being thoughtful of a career.
Build a brand.
Right.
Build a career.
And by the way, I did a reality show for Canada, a Canadian document series, Web Dreams. And near the end of it, I was in LA and I was at the old place where you would get your talent testing, but I forgot. It's called something in Ames. It was called Ames Clinic in LA. And at that time, I met, I don't want to forget her name because she's a legend. Anyways, I met one of the legends in porn industry. She's amazing. I know the name will come to me very soon because I loved her for so long. Anyways, Nina Hartley.
Okay.
So she was there, Nina. And she gave me some advice, which most porn stars should give the advice to the younger girl to tell them the truth, because these agents won't always tell you the
truth. Because they're just there to get their
They want to get the quick money, right? So she told me, make sure you shoot what you want to shoot that you're comfortable with. You know, make sure you're with the right people so you can screen them or get references or whatever. Make sure you know how much money you're making and put money aside. She's like, you can have a very long career like me. And she was telling me all this advice. I mean, I'm not saying exactly what she was saying, trying to remember, but she was giving me really good old school model advice to the younger model. She was amazing, and I love her for it. But that's the thing. I saw this woman who's an agent who's basically like probably trying to get her to work as much as possible, even though she might get burnt out, and telling her she won't have a career after, like, by next year she won't even have
a
career.
Crazy. I feel like for a lot of women, like, we kind of actually peak in our 30s.
Yeah.
Because 20s, you're still a little bit lost in your direction or sense of self. And, you might be successful, but let me tell you, if you're successful in your 20s, like, you are going to hit your stride in your 30s.
Mm-hmm. And what is a popular thing? The MILF.
The MILF.
The MILF is so popular.
So what age did you start getting cast as a MILF? People call me mommy. And I'm like, No.
They started at 25 in the porn industry, by the way. Because I went to the casting, like, when I got to with the agency, I went with the casting and I went all around to the different, and you put out you give them your info, they do measurements, they take pictures, right? So I did all that. And they, like, at the time, I was 34, but this one girl, she was like, I don't know if they can even, like, feel like that you're a MILF, because she thought I looked young, right? And I can, but I also can look older, so it just depends, right? So I thought that was very flattering, because she thought I looked too young to be
a MILF.
Like,
what kind of makeup am I going to wear today?
Yeah.
My MILFy makeup or
exactly.
Not.
And then sometimes I surprise people, because I always come on set, like, very nice and quiet sometimes, because I don't know everybody, so usually I'm quiet when I don't know people. And then I had to be more domineering in I worked for Brazzers where it was like with Johnny Sins, and I was the mom's his best friend's mom. And there was a party. I kicked everybody out, but he was still there with these girls. I kicked them out, and they had handcuffed him to the bed. And I took over. And I took him, and he's like, but you're my best friend's mom, kind of thing. And I had to be more dominant with him. And I think I almost scared people when I'm like, oh, yeah. And I put on my
especially
whole,
like you're tiny.
Personality.
He's this big guy. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, when it comes to, like, doing all these shoots, do you have any advice when it comes to just watching out for your safety in collaborations and studios? What do you do to kind of vet the situation before you go in?
Yeah, that's important because even when I was younger, my other model friend told me to do this, do stuff like this, because she had been taken advantage of. And the thing is that if, because especially when you're an independent model at the time, when you're starting off, you get emails, you get people asking you to come here and there. And if you're in the bondage world, you're going to be tied up. So she said, I went by myself and it was a mistake because he took advantage while I was in bondage. And she said that she regretted it. So now what she does is she does this test. Even if she has to go by herself, she pretends, oh, I have to be able to take a chaperone or a friend to come with me.
Right.
If they said no, she's going to think that's
absolutely
a red flag.
Absolutely not, yeah.
Because it's bondage. And so then after a certain amount of time, you can screen people because you work in a network. Like at FetishCon, you know your friends work with this person or your friend is going to say, no, don't work with that guy. He passed my limits. And that happens.
Yeah.
I've had a guy who do that. And then I didn't know this, but every model I talked to said that, I won't work with him because he did the same thing to me. So it's like a gag, and he shoves the gags too hard down your throat and puts way too much tape here to the point where he wants to hurt you.
Yeah,
so, and then, okay, that's a thing in the S&M world, but not
but
when we're
models. But it's
always
with consent, always.
And also, you can fake that. You can say show that you're putting it in, cut, and then you don't have to choke them, actually.
Yeah.
So take out something and put it back on.
Right.
And yes, that's movie play, but
that's
we're
what
models.
We do. We're shooting movies.
We're performers. We're not there for your sadistic real pleasure. This is a production.
Yeah.
It's not a real S&M dungeon. So then that guy gets a reputation, and all the models now talk, and all the models now say, don't work with that guy.
Yeah.
You can't trust him.
Yeah, references. Yeah. Big key. Mm-hmm. And so, having friends in the industry.
Big thing. And people ask to shoot with me now all the time, all walks of life. I don't even care if they're in the industry. I work with a network of friends. So, like, friends that are associated with friends. Because I don't need to. I don't need to just meet somebody or try somebody new out.
Nor does anybody else.
Yeah.
Really? Like, don't think, like, I think there is kind of a stigma where it's like, oh, I have to shoot with other people to make money or make content. Like, if you're a solo creator and that's what you're comfortable with, stick to that. Do your solo cam shows. It's okay. Don't feel that you need to, like, reach out and do, like, fuck a fan or something. Because, you know, just like you were saying, like, with your friend, like, regretting it. Once you do that thing, you can't take it back.
Exactly.
And it's much easier to hold back than it is to try and take it back.
I had another friend. This is a good story to tell because she's not in the industry anymore. But what happened was the guy who was the producer offered to pay for everything, pay for the AVN tickets, pay for the hotel, and he was going to shoot her and gave her own room. But every single night he was bugging her for a BJ.
Ugh.
And she was like, no, this is not our agreement. You said this, and I would shoot with you, but I didn't agree to, like, do any sexual favors
like, personal,
for you.
Yeah,
by
sex
the time
doll.
we met up with her at the airport after AVN, she was crying. Like, she was Canadian. And I said, why didn't you tell me this whole time? We would have brought you with us. We would have took. She's like, I didn't want to tell anybody, and I was just trying to deal with it. And now she's not even in the industry, but, you know, people get, like, a bad experience.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, you have to assume, if you don't know this person very well, and you have to assume that this could happen. So you have to do whatever you can to be safe. You have to have your independence. You have to, even if you have to pay for something yourself, you can't rely on somebody because they can turn it around and, you know.
Yeah. And if you were relying on, like, somebody else to, like, buy a hotel room or something to even make that, like, if you're that dependent, like, probably don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's going to put you in a situation where you're trapped or you feel obligated or something like that, it's probably not a situation you get yourself into.
Yeah. So that was a shame. But these things can happen, and people, I mean, in Canada, there actually is horror stories of bondage models there was a snuff film made of her.
Holy.
Yeah, it's pretty serious. It was a long time ago. Wow,
that's scary.
This is why, but literally, like, in the fetish world, honestly, like, the fetish con world, it's not like that because everybody is friends and they network. And the
boundaries of, you know, dominant and submissive are very well understood. That's something I've always liked about the dungeon at Exotica.
Safe, sane, and consensual is the key. And there are rules to it. And you have to make sure you're playing with people that respect those rules. But that's why I don't just shoot with just everybody. Like, I know lots of people just ask me all the time to do it. Oh, like, from fans to new industry people. And even people who've been in the industry for a while, but unless they're associated with my network of friends, I'm not going to do it just out of my own safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Very smart.
Yeah.
How about when it comes to fetish stuff? Like, how do you go about negotiating boundaries to keep people safe, even when it's online, when you're working? Because there are some fetishes that even if you are not working with this person directly in real life, if you're working with them online. I remember I had somebody, and I was not prepared for this, where they had an intoxication fetish. And I ended up saying no because I was like, I feel kind of weird. Like, what if I, you know, he would want me to, like, tell him to take a shot or a drink or something on a video call. And I was like, actually, I'm kind of not cool with that because I don't know where you are. I don't know who you are. Like, if something were to happen to you.
I know somebody had, I mean, not no, but I know a friend who had to deal with somebody who had that fetish too. But
he
ended up, you know, bad things did happen. So it's not always a good thing. You have to be comfortable, even if it's online and you're not. Because I had that too. I was like, okay, I'm going to do a regular toy show. I said, yeah, no problem. Right? And then it got to the point where, this. Like, I'm a friggin' robot. Just you keep naming things out and I'm just bouncing around this, right?
Well, how do you keep yourself safe from, like, and other people? Sometimes.
And then, and also, there's certain things that you have a limit, and you may not know it, like, I don't want to do the gagging where I puke, but some people really like that. Or, like, other things. And you have to say, no, let me know what you like. I usually do a regular toy show.
Yeah.
And I most of the time, I squirt. But, and it's mutual masturbation.
Yeah, but you're setting that expectation.
Right, so I set that up. I said, I don't do anything, like, on camera. I have done extreme stuff before, but I said, I don't do anything extreme anymore. Because, one, it's not worth it. I'm not even charging them that much. So
and it takes a toll.
I charge a very basic amount for a cam. So I'm going to do something that's in my comfort zone. And doesn't exhaust me and make me regret it in the end. And I have regretted it in the end. And I'm just like, oh God, why did I do that? I'm not working with that person again. I'm not doing a show for him. Yeah, that guy was a nightmare. No, you just, that happens. And then you just, you gotta ignore them or block them.
Yeah, and, you know, learn from the experience. Yeah. I definitely learned early on with somebody who pulled a Cash App scam with me.
Oh no!
They were just sending me screenshots, like they were sending me Cash Apps, and I wasn't getting the actual notification. And I was a little baby, baby streamer, and I literally talked to this guy for a fucking hour, and I made $0.
Oh man!
And it was embarrassing. I was embarrassed, but I was like, never again. Now I know.
Guy ripped me off like that. Not Cash App, but similar something else too.
That outside payment stuff you have to be real, real careful with. I mean, are there other scam? Are there like mainstream scams that happen?
I don't know. I can't think. What you just said, similar, I did, like, where somebody was like, okay, well, I sent it, or I I'm going to send it after. Yeah. Oh, right.
Never take the payment after.
Exactly. And this guy's sending me a screenshot of his bank account. Oh, I'll pay you back. No, I don't give a shit.
I love when they send a screenshot of like, okay, first of all, like this is a Google image search of like stacks of cash that you found.
Yeah.
And that picture is not going into my bank account. Oh, God.
And I have that on social media, like people offering me like huge amount of money and showing me the cash. And when I'm not interested. And you know what? Here's the other thing is like, not to ruffle any feathers, but some people, you know, I know that they want to put everybody in the sex worker category. Yeah. And I understand that today's world is like that because you just want to put everybody in the thing. But I really went out of my way as like when I was a stripper, I experimented. I went out of my way in my head not to do that world anymore and not to, you know, be, you know, dabble in prostitution. God bless those who do and what they love it and, you know, not to say anything negative about them because I think it's great when you can do it. But at the same time, it was something of my no because people ask me all the time. I'm like, no, I do not do that. No.
Same thing,
right? And so in a way, I get that they want to lump it so like everybody's on equal level.
The same thing, right?
No. I don't take clients.
Yeah.
You know, and I get, and people go, your porn is the same thing. I said, no, it's not because one, I'm working with my friends.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times I'm doing stuff that is like shared content with my friends. So I have done a lot of big paid shoots like for productions, but because I have my own website and my own production company, I'm making content. And instead of hiring a model, there's a lot of times I do shared work.
Yeah.
So I'm not exchanging money. And the second thing that I do is like when I first started, even when I was exchanging money, I got them to give it to my husband because I didn't want to feel like at the beginning it was like fun. Oh, I got lots of cash, right? For my first big shoots. Okay. But at the second time, this is just because it's my mental level because I have something in my head. Like it goes back to my childhood. But anyways, something in my head that literally made me put my foot down for that. And that's my no. That's my red line.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I don't do sessions. I don't do meetups. All that stuff I have to keep a strong boundary on. So I get that they want to lump everybody in sex worship, and I'm not offended by it, but I kind of like,
treat us like individuals, you know, and treat us like real people.
I consider myself a performer,
an
actress. I have a lot of fun and I'm doing it for real.
Yeah.
But it's like when I work with people, and this is why my fans love my work. Is I'm actually having fun with my friends. Like, I'm literally having fun. I was like, yeah, that was good. I'm like, oh, my God, that was good sex. All right, guys, you want to go out for a drink? Let's go out. Or, like, we'll see you guys later, whatever. Yeah. Let's do selfies. And, like, I make friends with the people I work with. It's not, like, I don't feel like they're my client. I'm never doing anything I don't want to do. And that's not to say I hadn't. But now I'm at the point where I only do what's comfortable. I only work with who, you know, you have a red line.
You earned your right.
Exactly. There's times that I was like this. I was like, look, I've been in this industry for so long. I've earned the right to say no to that one.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have indeed.
I was like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, kind of what you're talking about is something that mentally, me personally, I've been struggling with lately in the last couple months because there is very much that like line in between like my real life and what I show to my fans. Right. And, you know, it's just been getting to me more and more every time somebody is kind of not treating me like a person and they're just treating me like a sex bot. And I'm getting kind of annoyed at it. Like, I'm finding it hard to be at peace with it. Like, I used to be a little bit more at peace and just feeling. Be like, haha, and just flirt back.
Yeah.
And then now I want to be like, you know, I want to, like, snap back. And I'm like, don't do that.
Uh-huh. You should. And you know who taught me how to do that very well? Niece is really good at that. If you ever want to talk to her about it, she knows how to put her foot down.
I will talk to her about it. Yeah, I need to talk to some good doms because there's some things about setting those boundaries.
She's smart as in business, like not
exactly
just dom.
Well, even it's like fans that have been a fan for a long time, right? They've been there for 2 years, and maybe they're starting to get comfortable with taking up my time without tipping me.
Exactly.
Right? And it's like, okay, like
Niece will teach. She teaches me all the time,
and it's like how to okay. I gotta have her
on. She teaches, you have to, because she teaches me all the time, because sometimes I'm like, don't know how to react to that, because you get worried to either offend somebody.
I don't
want to
scare you away.
Exactly.
I'm not
mad. But you have to put your foot down with certain things.
But there's a learning experience here that you need to have. Mm-hmm.
The more business-like you are, and the more... It sounds bossy, but the more bossy business life, assertive, and knowing what you want, and knowing what you, that, the more you do that, for one, you'll get the better clients because they'll respect you.
Yeah.
And if you scare off those clients, then they're not meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's fine because they'll only be there to take advantage of you. And there's a lot of people who will take advantage of people they think are newbies, right?
Yes.
So they
do. Oh my gosh.
All the time.
Yeah.
So it's fun to kind of at the very beginning to go, oh yeah, I'm a newbie, right? Don't stay there too long.
Yeah.
And you can play the cuteness, but don't like embody it.
Yeah. And dear God, if you're like if that happened to me on Chatterbait announces to the world that you're new, which is a good, it pushes you to the front of the
page. At the beginning, it's good.
Yeah. Yes. But also it attracts all these guys that lurk around Chatterbait and are like, hey, I can help you. I can help you do this stuff.
Yeah.
And they're scamming you. Yeah. Play the role of the newbie.
Yeah, here's what I always
say. Dear God, don't listen to anybody.
People like try to, like, and especially when it comes to business, that's a good reason why I have my husband who's a good buffer. And even if you, let's for example, didn't have one, you might want to make an email with a guy's name so you can pretend he's your buffer manager. Producer.
Yep,
and sometimes I don't
the
even
pretend
call my
secretary.
Sometimes I don't even call my husband. My husband, I say it's my producer.
Yep.
So I don't have to get personal. I said, no, it's my producer,
absolutely,
my business partner.
Yeah.
And you can make, if you, let's say you don't have somebody, make a separate email.
Yeah. That's a good move in general. Even if you're not in the adult industry, if you're a woman in business, make a man's and pretend he's your, you know, you're on the email, but you're like, hi, this is Stella's secretary. And go about it that way, because that's just smart in general.
And by the way, for example, like here's an example. When I was kind of not first starting off, but still pretty new, there was a times that we would go to shoots and somebody would do, like they call it a bait and switch. So they tell you you're here for this shoot, but they switch it up and they ask you to do all these other things that you didn't agree to, but now you're already there.
Wow.
So... my husband's really good with this. I mean, I literally learned from him, but if I didn't have him, I would have been so naive and just did it. But he goes, nope, that's not what we discussed. We have it in the email.
Yeah.
We've made it. We have written down right here. This is exactly what we said for the shoot. You just tried to do a bait and switch. That's not what we agreed for that. We're leaving.
Yeah.
And we had.
Yeah.
We had left a couple places. And at first I'm just like, whoa. And, you know, like, I'm not sure. I'm like, oh, are you sure? Like, I mean, I could, no, because you know what? I don't like that they tried to do a bait and switch.
Yes.
And that is unprofessional.
It's exactly like you said, where you were like, vet out a photographer where, okay, can I have this person come? Even if you don't have a person really coming, and if they say no, then you're out.
It's a red flag, yeah.
But all of those things, like standing your ground, I think having expectations up front.
Yeah.
With if you're going to, even if you're just going to do a collab, you know, an exchange collab and nobody's getting paid, have those expectations of what the shoot is going to be. Don't just show up and be like, well, what do we do? Because that is a situation ripe for going wrong. Somebody could take advantage of somebody. You just don't know. So it's
a good idea. There are a lot. Okay, listen, there's some really, because people ask me all the time, and most of the time I've had really good experience in the industry, but there are, that's mostly because, one, I had Scott at the beginning, right? Because honestly, there's a lot of stuff I wouldn't have known or put my foot down because I know my personality. And I got tougher and smarter later. But at the beginning, you just don't know what to say. You want, you really want to be a model. You really want to
and
be
you
a
think,
star.
If I say yes, this will, then they'll like me more. They'll book me more.
Right. But you know what? there are people who literally look to take advantage of people. And that's just a fact on the world. Any business.
Yeah.
Any
so business. Just make sure when you're looking at a situation that you see the benefit for your brand yourself personally.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. You're awesome.
Okay. You're awesome too.
So when it comes to managing your real life, mental health, and your work life, how do you find a balance?
Oh, wow. Okay, so...
What balance?
Yeah, exactly. Well, don't forget, when I first started out, I had stepkids who I literally played mom to. So I was making cupcakes, I was making lunches, and I was taking them to school.
Playing stepmom.
Right before that, I had a home daycare and I was working in daycare, right? Wow. So I quit all that to like have a home daycare, and I did that all up until the kids were about a certain age. We were still like privately like going to fetish parties, and me and my husband, right? But when they got to a certain age, like my stepdaughter went into high school and the other one went into like a certain whatever grade, like 4 years apart. And we moved out of that area to a different house in Toronto. Then we had this like outside garage. Like, it's a two-car garage. Yeah. We turned it in. We put, like, surround sound.
Studio.
Like, we made it into... But we made it look like a gym so we could hide everything. So this was our adult gym. And everything was, like, hitting in other ways, right?
Yeah, but also, like, gym shoot is, like, classic, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And then it was locked. So I remember just, like, having the whole thing. It was kind of private. And then so it was... Whatever. So we had to balance that out because our first studio was in that garage, and we only could shoot during the times that they were in school. The funny thing is, sometimes we would have like models come down from the States, like Nisa was down and she'd sleep over, or Dragon Lily slept over. So they're like, yeah, it's just my friend, you know?
Oh my gosh.
You know? And so you had to balance that. And we did a TV show when we finally got exposed. We got exposed right before the TV show. So we did the TV show because we were already
exposed.
Out. As in, like, family members found out.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so family
that,
found
yeah, that.
And they already told the kids. So we had to do a sit down and have a conversation with them. So then we were out in the open. The kids were getting older, and we did a TV show. So we were all over Canada every week. On TV show. So we were fine because then it integrated with our life, and literally my neighbors were fans. You know what I mean? They're an older couple, and friends or whatever were fans.
Yeah.
And so people that I would meet, like my life just ended up being all one. It wasn't, I didn't need to hide it anymore.
Yeah.
Because, and like my cousins found out, they watched the TV show and they thought it was cool. My uncle, I have a gay uncle who found out, and he goes, as long as you're happy, you know?
Yeah.
So it had a lot of positivity.
I feel like that is worth mentioning, like the amount of energy it takes to keep up two acts and try to keep
that's
it secret.
That's very hard.
Yeah. And there's some people, I totally understand why you would want to be like a faceless creator or anonymous because... you know, your job, you might get fired from your job, but I would think, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to live the dual life. We did it at the beginning.
Yeah.
You have to, you have to protect certain members of the family, you know, for that, of course. But, you know, after a certain point, I prefer to be, like, myself, integrated, like, have it out instead of a secret.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed of it. I just, you know, had to protect, you know, certain members of the family. But other than that, at the beginning, my husband's family was, like, didn't talk to him for a while. They were, like, traumatized.
Yeah.
But my family was a lot more, okay, as long as you're happy and you're safe.
Yeah,
and
likewise. My family has been very understanding. Like, I was coming out to my sister and my mom, and they were like, wow, I hope you make a lot of money. And I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, so that kind of brings me to my next question, which is, if you could go back on your 20 years, would you do anything differently? And if so, what would that be?
Yeah. I mean, I think what happened happened for a good reason. I think, like, even though it seems disappointing that I didn't have kink.com right at the thing, but what pushes you to make your own business and be more independent more than rejection somewhere else?
Yeah.
So let's say I did get that right away. I might have a totally different life that looks like. Possibly I would have to maybe move, but how could I move there when the kids were younger at that time? They weren't even old enough.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even have that world if I wanted to at that time. So in a way, everything worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
And I the good thing was is I went around full circle. Like the strip bar thing, I think about all this stuff. Like I was in the strip bar at 21 and then they asked me to be a feature, which I was like not even a hot stripper. Like honestly, it was very simple.
Oh, please.
No, I wasn't. I was very simple. Like even my friend who was a stripper with me who got me into it, later on we ran into her friend. She goes, "Oh yeah, she's hot now." And I'm like, "Oh, so you've been talking behind my back there. Okay, I get it." And then she shut herself up. She goes, "Oh, look, she's hot now." And I was like, "Okay, so they were talking behind my back like I was not hot enough into something, you know?" But that's okay. They're not my good friends anyways, but and I don't even talk to her anymore, but this is
shady.
Yes. But how did it go back circle? Yeah. I went to the top.
Right.
I came there and I became the feature. And the girls, the strippers were, some of them were jealous, right? I would go to the strip bar and this girl goes, "Yeah, we don't really like it that you're here because you take all the attention."
Wow.
"Yeah, we just want to make our money and nobody wants a lap dance because they're watching you on stage." That's what this girl told me.
Okay, well, I've been working on my career, girl. Okay,
I've been in it for a very long time.
Yeah. So,
and this other girl, she lunged at me. I think she was on drugs.
Jesus.
At a strip bar. Like, so I'm here, like, just, like, waiting for the manager or whatever. I'm going to be a feature. I just got there. And I'm just very quiet when I'm not loud. I'm not all, whatever. And this girl, she was, like, eyeing me. She was in her outfit, and I think she was high. And she was, like, and then she lunged at me like she was going to fight me.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And she was trying to intimidate me, right? And I just sat there like that. Like, I didn't flinch at all. And I'm just like, wow. And this is funny because while I went on stage, I saw her going to ask every single guy at the front of the stage for a dance, and every one of them, eyes on me, watching my show, said no. And I got to see, it was like my own little revenge. "Look, you just got turned down. Why didn't you just, like, stop?" Because she thought she was going to take somebody. Look, it's a show. They're hiring me for a show.
What a waste of her energy, you know? Yeah.
Don't waste. You have time after. I'm not even doing lap dances. And then it went around kind of full circle, even more so, because I had a party that was being shown on the TV show, and my other friend invited her for some reason and brought her there, and she showed up all trying to be my best friend. And I was like, wow, this girl is like, she's
like,
psycho
girl. You think I don't remember you?
Psycho girl, you don't think I forgot how you tried to lunge at me?
And you still remember her
to
this day.
Yeah, of course. But you know what? I worked at my store, and I was kind of like, would give advice to younger girls in the industry. So I had escorts and strippers coming to my store all the time and asking me questions. And I was like a big sister to them. Literally, even girls who were escorts, I'd give them all this advice. And the ones who wanted to talk to me, the strippers who used to come and talk to me, I told them, "Look, man, make your money, get out." Because as fun and attractive the strip bar world is, it's a totally different world that people think it is. And a lot of darkness can be attracted to that. I don't want to say anything too bad. Some places are different, some places are good and bad.
Yeah.
But there is a darkness gets attracted. So from drugs to pimping to stealing from other people to fights, jealousy. There's also a lot of them have been through very rough life.
Yeah.
And the rough girls will attack each other.
Right.
And I just say, look, man, I had stuff stolen. There's fights. I said, look, you don't want to be addicted to drugs. And I say, make your money and get out. You know, just make your money and find a goal, move forward, move up.
Yeah.
My industry, yes, there's drugs in all industries, but I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a drug problem.
Yeah, and like, you know, mainstream, yeah. You know, so, I'm sure people break it all the time, yeah. But there are laws, you know, yeah. you can't just show up wasted to a set, you know.
Right. Well, you'll get a reputation and they might not hire you, but it happens, you know. I've been to a shoot, like a professional shoot, and there was a girl there. She looked like she was super high.
Yeah.
But she wasn't the one who was working her... She was high, but her friend was working on set with me. And I was just like, wow. Like, it was, like, unbelievable. It was, like, 11 o'clock in the morning, and she was just wasted.
Wow. Yeah.
With her friend. And, I mean, they told me, yeah, they're both kind of a problem when it comes to the drugs and stuff. They get a reputation, you know? And you don't want to be caught up in the dark side of that world. You want to be caught up with... You know, I love strong women. I love female empowerment. I don't consider myself a feminist. I know feminists may not like that, but I don't, because I love strong women, but I am, I love the femininity. I love my husband being the man.
Those can work together still. Yeah. I would consider you feminist. I mean, you're a freaking entrepreneur.
Yes, I love
that's very much. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. That's for sure, I mean, despite, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of, there's a lot of connotations around the
word. But I definitely don't hate men. I tell men all the time. I love men. I get along sometimes.
In my definition,
better with men.
That's what you would be. Yeah. You're here for female empowerment. Yeah. You're a businesswoman. You own your own business as an entrepreneur. Yeah. You know, the way you carry yourself and interact with other women in the industry, all of that.
Yeah. But you know what? Women like you and Nisa, like this personality, I always get along with that. But there are certain women that never like me, right?
Yeah, no, I won't mention names, but there are definitely people like, and it's like, how do you even know me? But like somehow feathers have been ruffled, and I'm like, okay, I don't know.
I'm like,
there's nothing
like
I can really do about that.
I don't know why, but she's that person.
Yeah,
like,
I
know
have no
you.
Idea. Yeah, well, I like you.
Thank you, and I like you too. I liked you from the very beginning. As soon as you started talking, I was like, you know when you get an energy, like an aura?
Yeah, for sure.
I got it all the way, and I was like, oh my God, I love her. I don't know what it is. I just already know. I just love her personality.
Thank you.
Yeah. So.
Okay, last question and we'll wrap up. So, Maxine, if you had one little golden nugget of advice you could give to a new creator, what would it be?
Independence, independence, independence. So, like, if you need an agency or some sort of thing, like, to help you, just don't be dependent on any of that. Like, any way that you can be self-reliant, like totally dependent on for your own money, your own security, your checking references, doing your own information. Like, for example, you know, I did a shoot and there was like, there was like the douches, like the anal douches.
Wait, for the shoot itself?
Okay, well, in the bathroom.
Or that they're like offering it to you. Oh, that's actually kind of nice.
You'd think so, but the product inside made me poop. So they didn't tell me I was supposed to. They didn't tell me I was supposed to empty it and then put water in it. And
no!
When I told my agent, I told her, like, why didn't anybody tell me that? Like, why would they put it in the bathroom without having a little sign?
Yeah, you're like, ooh, complimentary douche.
She goes, well, everybody in the industry knows that. I'm like, well, it says, like, an anal douche, and I thought that's, you guys know what this is a, I didn't know, there's no sign that says empty the solution first. Thank God I worked with somebody that didn't give a shit because he's European, and he was the top, and by the way, he was my very favorite porn star. Manuel Ferreira, he's my very favorite porn star of all time. Top, one of the top stars. He's won Male Performer of the Year many, many times. And he chose me because he can choose anybody he wants.
Yeah.
And I asked him, why did he choose me? And he told me he liked my Facebook picture of me in my store in my like business outfit, business dress, and my glasses on. And I'm like, that's the funniest thing.
Of all pictures, that's what you picked.
You picked me out of that. I was like, I couldn't even believe it. But you know what?
Yeah.
And it totally made my career. Like, I could say I could retire right now, and I got to work with my favorite porn star ever. Where it came to people in the industry that you're like, oh, man, if when I finally get to... And this girl even told me...
Yeah, we all have a dream list,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and this girl told me, she's like, what? people literally, like, go on a list to try to work with him. And I'm like, wow. And I go, well, they asked, and he chose me. So I'm like, ha-ha.
Cute.
But anyways, I was lucky, and I didn't lose that shoot. It was so close to losing that shoot. And agencies and all these people you think are going to help you, they're not thinking of what's best for you all the time.
Right. I mean, yeah. You have to remember and remind yourself that they are getting something out of this interaction. Yeah. They're not doing it just because they love you.
Don't rely on anybody. So be self-reliant. So if you have to do information on your research, what you need, what you what they're asking for, who you're working with, any emails, references.
Ask questions, too.
Don't rely on people for just money. Like, let's say, like, your agent didn't give you your check, or they said, oh, I told you I'd mail it to you a long time later on. And, okay, well, then don't rely. You make sure you have your own money so you can be able to survive that several weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
So self-reliance, self-independence, all that kind of stuff is very important. Yeah.
I love it. Words from the OG, Maxine X.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy you're here in Vegas. I love you so much.
I love you, too.
And thank you for coming on the podcast. If our fans, listeners, if somebody wants to find you, how can they find you?
Okay. Well, I have official website, MaxineX.com. Mm-hmm. And then I have my OnlyFans and Loyal Fans, and you just put / Maxine X. Those are my major ones. But other than that, if you go to allmylinks.com / Maxine X, you'll find the rest.
Are you Maxine X on Instagram as well?
Instagram is official Maxine X.
Official Maxine X.
And the Twitter is the real Maxine X. And the reason why is because my first one that had Maxine X, they both got deleted.
Yeah, so, tell me about
social
it.
Media.
Sexy Stella Sky Twitter, that's gone now.
Yeah, I had to restart. So those aren't even my first profiles of those.
Yeah, I think we all have a story of restarting on social media.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's Maxine X. I'm Stella Sky, and this has been The Money and Triple X. You can use our code podcast to get a discount on our creator course, if you so wish. And you can check us out at minxdigital.com, MINXXXdigital.com. And here we are at The Space in Las Vegas. Excellent recording studio that we're using today. They also have an event space. So if you are in Vegas and you are in need of a studio, come check them out.
Awesome.
Woo!
I love it.